I would like to welcome us to our second capstone presentation of the morning. It will be delivered by Maria Hostler-Beiler. Maria is a graduate of in social work from Goshen College, Goshen, Indiana. She has currently serving as the Worship Commission Chair at Emmanuel Mennonite Church and has also been a worship and formation intern for Emmanuel Mennonite Church and Virginia Mennonite Conference. I don't know how to say this, in a past life or a previous life, you were a truancy case manager in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Maria's capstone presentation is entitled Written on Our Hearts, Scripture Memorization for the Whole Body. Welcome, Maria.
For my capstone project, I learned about scripture memorization through several different angles. I'll start by giving an overview of what I did, and then I'll go into more detail about each one as I go along. The first part of my learning was historical research. I did a brief survey of some of the uses of scripture memorization through history, very brief survey, and I looked at scripture learning during the composition of the Old Testament and how scripture was used in the New Testament. I also looked at a few materials for Sunday school in the Mennonite Church from the past century. Neither of these views were comprehensive by any means, but they gave me a few examples of ideas from the past. Second, I completed interviews of Christians who memorize scripture in different ways and for different reasons, and some interviews with people who don't memorize scripture at all. And last, I reflected on my experience of scripture and my views on memorizing, and I spent some time learning scripture myself. So I'll start with some of the history. The idea of learning sacred text by heart did not arrive with modernity or even with Christianity. People have been learning scriptures to impact their own lives and to share with others since before words were written down in oral cultures. In such ancient cultures where writing was not central, and in fact in modern cultures where writing is not central, the main places for education and interpretation are the mind and the community rather than on a page. This is sometimes called orality, and I have memorization in quotes up there because it's so different from how we tend to think about memorization. It's kind of on the edge of our definition of memorization, I would say. Our Old Testament is an example of a text which bridges oral and written cultures, and it's sometimes called a transitional text for that reason. Important texts were learned word for word and passed on orally, and then the written text helped to maintain consistency and aid recall for the people who were teaching. It was like a cheat sheet. This is one reason why Hebrew scriptures don't have vowel markings. And a lot of ancient texts don't have spaces between the words or punctuation, even in New Testament manuscripts, which are relatively recent. The texts were only really meant to be read by people who were already familiar with the text. This meant that when the biblical texts were being compiled and written down, memorization served a very specific purpose, passing on tradition. This passage from Proverbs 22 illustrates this well. Incline your ear and hear my words, and apply your mind to my teaching, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, if all of them are ready on your lips. The teacher passes on words, presumably what comes next in chapter 22, onto the student who learns the words, practices them, and does what they say. There's much more that can be said about orality as it relates to memorization, but I'm also interested in what the Bible says about memorizing scripture. One I already noted, Proverbs, at least, assumes a method of passing on tradition in which the student learns the teacher's words and applies them. And these examples are all over the place. Just this week in my Lent devotional, I read part of Isaiah 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning, he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. Even the teacher must start each day by listening and learning. Certainly, Jesus knew his scriptures well and used them according to the Gospels. He quoted scripture freely and taught from it. When he said, "It is written," he wasn't pulling out a scroll and unrolling it every time. Likewise, Paul frequently referred to and interpreted scripture. This familiarity with scripture is not possible without some form of memorizing in some way. Currently, many proponents of scripture memorization quote Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Deuteronomy 6 tells the people to keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Certainly, these phrases are not direct orders to memorize parts of our modern Bible. There was no such thing as the Bible as we know it when these scriptures were written down. What we do know is that the scriptures contain words from God for us, as evidenced by scripture's continued power. And these Bible references show that knowing scripture is an important part of being God's people. I believe scripture memorization is in line with what they're asking of us. The Sunday school materials that I looked at from the past century were very concerned with scripture memorization. In 1920, in fact, the Mennonite Church published a booklet of graded memorization exercises for children and youth, including short passages and words of hymns and answers to brief questions, like how many books are there in the Bible, how are they grouped, and then these other interesting series of questions. One of them goes like this: "What does the Bible teach us?" And then the student would respond, "The Bible teaches us God's holy will." "Through whom?" "Through Jesus and holy men of old." "Who is Jesus?" "Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world." The point was, quote, "to store in the memories of our boys and girls those religious gems which shall help in right thinking and result in their conversion and the building of Christian characters." A children's curriculum from 1950 and one from 1992 strongly advocated memorizing selected verses for similar reasons. It would help children think and behave in a Christian way. As the people I interviewed remembered, all the people that I interviewed remembered doing this kind of Bible memory as a child. A few memorized significant portions of scripture. Some remembered competitions and prizes. Maybe you have memories of this as well. Only two still remembered any of the verses that they learned in this way. There were two main results that I could find of this Sunday school Bible memory. On the one hand, increased familiarity with scripture, which allowed them to use the scripture more now. On the other, an impression of the rigidity with which their church tradition viewed scripture, and a desire not to continue the same practice in their own lives. Lots of Christians don't memorize scripture. Some just don't take time or don't think it's worth it since the Bible is so easily accessible these days. One person I interviewed saw his childhood church community put so much emphasis on the written word that they seemed to idolize the text itself, and he didn't want to make that same mistake. Another was concerned that singling out a few verses to memorize sidesteps the complexity of the biblical text, and it'd be better to spend more time reading more of scripture to understand its complexity. Early in my own faith journey, I personally was confused about how the scripture's mess of stories and messages related to my everyday life, and there's no reason to memorize a text that you're ambivalent about. Part of this debate is about what memorization itself really means. If the idea is to learn all the words in the right order and that's it, there are very few proponents of scripture memorization. But memorization doesn't have to mean blindly absorbing whatever's found in scripture. One person I interviewed said, "You can have a high view of Scripture and still approach it critically. The process can be more of a conversation." Memorization can be used as a tool to critically engage the text, practice serious Bible study, get to know God better, and become more Christ-like ourselves. And these goals happen not just because in memorization we are learning these words of instruction, but because we become part of the text, and the power of the Holy Spirit becomes part of us when we engage the text deeply. This is sort of a debate about different ways of learning. On the one hand, the brain is viewed as a bank. Teachers put good stuff into the empty brain, and that causes good behavior or good morals or whatever. This is certainly the reasoning of some Bible memory programs. On the other hand, if we think of our minds not as empty containers, but as entities with value, shaped by God through our engagement with our environment, memorization can be a process of the Scripture coming into conversation with our lives. Our experiences, our values, and our thought processes interact with Scripture. As we engage the text in order to get the words into our brains and into our hearts, we continue this growing process. One author talks about the process as having the capacity to move and empower us to shape our lives around its reality. An interview participant who learns Scripture by heart says it's a process of internalizing the story so it becomes your story. Scripture memorization, as a tool for thoughtful engagement with the Bible, can transform who we are. And I have to add, some Sunday school programs attempted to speak to kids' lives in this way, the ones that I looked at. One said, quote, "It is very important," underlined, "to learn how to say verses in an expressive, reverent way. This will eliminate a droning chant," exclamation mark. Another one didn't say anything specifically about how to say Bible memory verses, but wrote a whole page and a half on how to tell Bible stories. In fact, encouraging people not to memorize the Bible stories. Quote, "Memorizing a story word for word or sentence by sentence tends to make it mechanical and artificial." So memorization is important in some ways, but in other ways, they recognize the dangers of it. And all of this through the attempt to integrate the Scripture with these children's lives. Within this goal of life transformation, people go about learning Scripture in different ways today. Some use a method that's pretty similar to the Sunday school curricula I looked at. Individual verses are memorized according to specific themes. The people I interviewed who do this find that they recall verses at important times, like in prayer, or if they're going through a hard time. These theme verses are a reminder of God's involvement in their daily lives and whatever they're doing. They connect everyday experiences with God's story. Janet Pope is an author and speaker who has memorized over 15 books of the Bible and has a book about her method called His Word in My Heart. She memorizes just one verse a day. She cites 2 Peter 1:3, "God's divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness," i.e. the Bible in her view. She says, quote, "It's God's revelation of himself. He left nothing out that he wants us to know." The next logical step, therefore, is to learn the Scriptures inside and out. She's primarily memorized epistles, and as far as I can tell, doesn't spend much time in the study of Scripture. This is not Bible study, it's more similar to meditation. She's found the practice to be a huge source of encouragement in her faith walk and brought her closer to God. I adapted some of her method and found it to be a very practical way to commit Scripture to memory. Both of these methods, however, are essentially private, which brings me to my last model. The last form of Scripture learning I looked at is called biblical storytelling. Biblical storytellers don't talk about memorizing, though they learn Scripture word for word by heart, because they want to emphasize the transformational process rather than the mental exercise of it. Here we come full circle. Biblical storytelling grows out of the understanding of the Bible as primarily oral, originally oral, and seeks to replicate this process of learning and telling Bible stories for the transformation of the whole community. It's related to a method of biblical study called performance criticism, which looks at the Bible in just that way, as stories that were told. Biblical storytellers learn stories, usually it's stories, by noticing word repetition or putting physical movements to the words. They seek to enter into the story as if they were actually present, in a process that's steeped in prayer. And they count on the process, the studying and internalizing of Scripture, to help them access Scripture in a new way, be shaped by it, and live their lives from it. I first encountered biblical storytelling at my church, Emmanuel Mennonite Church. One of the members is a biblical storyteller, and she's brought this practice to our worship. So a few times a year, instead of having a sermon, individuals tell passages that they have learned by heart to the congregation. One of these is coming up. On Maundy Thursday, we will be telling the crucifixion story from Matthew, as well as the foot washing story and part of Passover at our service. And that's at 5:45 at Emmanuel Mennonite Church. And I can tell you, it is powerful to experience. The stories come alive in a whole new way when a member of your community is telling you this story without a page in between you. Both the teller and the hearer become part of the events of the story. One biblical storyteller I interviewed shared about tears rolling down her face as she told the crucifixion story, because she was really there at the crucifixion. Being present for the events of Scripture is completely different from reading about them. And that's one of the ways that biblical storytelling works with the text. Another powerful thing about biblical storytelling, which again includes the whole process of learning and telling, is that it allows the Bible to keep its complexity. One storyteller told me, "I think it's a way of appreciating the Bible literally without being a literalist. Stories can't be boiled down to a few key takeaways. They shape us in a different way. I'm sure we all can think of stories that have shaped us as we've grown up. But in general, we've lost some of this as we tell fewer stories. Modernism has encouraged us to value timeless truths, and through postmodernism, we see truth as shaped individually only. But stories kept alive in community give us complex, shared truths." There are significant differences between each of these methods of scripture, of learning Scripture, but there are also marked similarities. All aim to have the learner's life transformed by the presence of Scripture in the heart. They see the work at hand as a spiritual discipline, part of a broader practice of faith. And all meet their goal not when the learner can spout Scripture from memory, but when the learner's life is changed in visual ways, changing those around them. The common thread in my interviews and experience is the desire to know God and carry that knowledge with us in life-changing ways. Each person's understanding of the Bible will inform how that kind of integrity will involve Scripture. For me, despite and maybe because of the difficulties that Scripture presents, it is a source for knowledge and empowerment, consolation and challenge. In addition to theological concerns, another question for a lot of people is feasibility. Janet Pope's method of learning one verse a day is possible to do. It changes your mindset when you're constantly reviewing messages about God's action in the world. That's what I experienced. And for two biblical storytellers I interviewed, learning Scripture has become the daily spiritual discipline that they always struggled to do before. They're excited to learn about the Bible and stories of Jesus or other stories from Scripture. That seems worth it. I present these methods and thoughts as a brief look at Scripture memorization, its benefits and challenges, where my own thoughts went in the process. Many doors are open for continued learning and experiencing. I hope to continue to wrestle with the role of the Bible and also to continue in conversation with the Scriptures themselves and live into them with my whole body.